The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on a bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around with a bad attitude, bad seed, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City studios at the Farrell Palatial, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny just went to bed, but not before she busted off a couple of fat tokes off of that half pint, kind tree, indica stick. In New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, ready to travel, some kind of fun, shake it up. Should do be home, my friend, to come around, fight the fight, party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess. Tons of town in my brain, just splattered all over Manhattan. Should do be shake it. Ooh. Hey, what's gagging? I'm Farrell with Mafia. The number's 844-843-6879. I'm watching a good game in the Bronx. The Yankees and Astros are going at it. They've been going at it all night. Luisega just struck out Altuve to the cheers galore in the boogie down because they hate Altuve more than any Astro, and they have been absolutely riding him and giving him the business for the last two nights in the Bronx. And it's a 3-3 game in the top of the eighth with one out, nobody on, Astros at bat. Luisega, as I mentioned, is the pitcher. Once again, the star of the night for the Yankees has been Giancarlo Stanton, who has driven in all three runs. His first hit was a two-run shot to deep left. And then the Astros took the lead 3-2, and then he doubled in Gardner to make it 3-3. Stanton with all three RBIs. The guy is on an 11-game hitting streak, hitting around 460. It's crazy what he's been doing lately. The home run he hit last night was a rocket into the sky, landing in the seats and left. And tonight the bomb he hit to left was deep. I mean, second tier of the outfield. I'm not talking second level. I'm talking up in the bleachers above the seats with backs on them. So they go nice seats and then crappy seats. He hit it up into the crappy seats up by the food concessions. I mean, it was a absolute bomb. And that's it. He has just been doing everything for the Yankees. As they've turned it all around, we know what they've done in their – you know, just winning games now left and right. And they've been getting the pitching. They've been getting the bullpen. They've been getting the hitting. And they've been winning. So it is what it is. I'll say this much in terms of you know, standings and everything. They've moved up all the way. They're a game over 500 now. And remember, they were just absolutely miserable and in all kinds of trouble. They were in last place. They had the worst record in the American League. And now they're 2.5 back in second behind the Red Sox in the East. And they have they've won 4 in a row, 7 of 10. And they've been getting involved. And I'll tell you what, this is a huge game tonight for them to, if they can win this game, if they can get that run and win this game, it's going to be huge. It'll be 5 in a row and 8 of 11. And it's 3 all now in the 8th. And the problem I've had is, you know, in this game is that nobody else is hitting. And one of the things I noticed about him was, tonight, at the very least, I know he got a hit. It was like a, you know, Gardner got on, but he, you know, I just thought that he's done nothing. The guy's sitting in the ones. So we welcome in our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio, Hoorah, Soldier Hoorah, it's Pharrell on a bench. So Loaysia gets the job done, 3-3 going to the bottom of the 8th. But here's the deal. As far as Gardner, he got a hit tonight. It was like a cheap hit, and he's hitting 185. I mean, it's embarrassing. The bottom four of their lineup, Ford's hitting .103. It's just so atrocious. Hicks is hitting .168. I've always told you he sucks. Sanchez is hitting .175 and Gardner .185. I mean, Gary Sanchez, I think, and no one wants to hear it, but the reality is I think he's finished with the Yankees. I really do. I think his days are numbered. I mean, really numbered. They cannot continue to play this guy. He cannot hit. His confidence is in the sewer. He can't even – I mean, he could do absolutely nothing. I mean, he walked tonight and they cheered. That's how bad he's been. And Gardner, in my opinion just forget about that infield hit he had tonight. You know what it was? It was a hit that skipped over Altuve's glove in the water. It was raining so bad, so it skipped off the grass and went over his glove. It was a cheap hit, a hit nevertheless. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't even see a hit from him. He's been so terrible. And to me, I said this earlier on Twitter, he looks just completely finished to me. Washed. Done. He looks like a guy that's got, you know, nothing left. They should have never brought him back for another year. They just keep giving him these one-year deals, and he just looks old to me and washed up. We got a lot going on tonight, plus Smitty on the bench. All right, Pharrell on the bench. Frazier's up now, and Torres got a hit to lead it off. So they got a runner at first, nobody out in the bottom of the 8th in a great game at Yankee Stadium with the Astros and Yankees tied at 3s. So you know what happened today in Seattle, right? That was crazy. We were on the air on Coast to Coast when Means threw the no-hitter for the Orioles. Hell of a performance. I mean, the guy got it. I saw him throw and finish it in the ninth. His first career no-hitter. He threw the third no-hitter this season and came within a wild pitch on a third strike of a perfect game. He would have had the perfect game. They've had two of those. Like, every game was close to being a perfect game. Musgrove hit a batter, right? And then Rodon, I think, you know, I forget what he did, but he
hit a batter.
The first two. And then now this guy, it what?
The first two were because of hitting batters, and then this one was another crazy why it wasn't a perfect game.
Yeah, it was a wild pitch on a third strike. So, anyway, he got it done. I got to tell you, I thought the guy was incredible. He's got a 1.37 ERA. And he had 12 strikeouts, no walks, no runs, no hits, complete game no-hitter. And he actually is, I think he's 4-0 now. And this guy, no joke about it, means business. How about that performance today? John Means, all 6'3", 230 of him. He's about my size. And the guy lit it up today, getting the no-hitter for the Orioles against the Mariners in Seattle. And look, they're a game under 500. You know, no one in their right mind thought that the Baltimore Orioles would be a game under 500. I mean, I think most people thought that they'd be the worst team in baseball. And they're anything but, as far as I'm concerned. And that guy, if he keeps pitching like that, I mean, he's making quite a statement. I know they're in last place, 3.5 out. But you're talking about tough teams in that division. Any way you slice it, at some level, they're going to all be tough. Boston's been incredible. They're 18-12. The Yankees and Rays are tied at 2.5 back. Toronto's only a half game behind them. And Baltimore's a half game behind Toronto. So they may be in last, but they're not playing that bad. There's a lot worse teams in baseball, even in the American League. Minnesota's 11-17. Detroit's 8-22. Texas is 14-17. Angels are 13-15. I mean, you go up and down. Baseball, Miami's 13-16. The Mets are 11-13. The Pirates are 13-16. The Cubs are 14-16. The Reds are 14-15. Colorado's 12-19. I mean, these teams are all worse than the Orioles. That's just all there is to it. And that guy, his stuff was filthy today. I saw him pitch that ninth inning, and he had him eating out of his hands. I thought he looked really good. Runners on first and second now. Nobody out. And the dreaded Aaron Hack is up. Aaron Hicks. He's switch hitting, hitting righty on this at bat. So 1-1 account. I got my eyes on that one. And anyway, Scottie,
at 4-0 with a 1.73 ERA. Guess how much he's making this year for the Baltimore Orioles?
No money. He's paying them
$593,000. And then next year, and the year after that, and the year after that are arbitration years. So he's not getting paid for a long time, even though he's the only one that's good. I mean, oh well, Harvey's 3-1 right now on that staff too, but. This guy's ridiculous for them, and he's not going to get paid for at least 4 years.
Well, you never know. He could make. He could actually. He could win an arbitration, throw in a no hitter. You know, that's what that is. That's, you know, they're going to throw up a number, and we'll see what the you know judge has to say. Bottom line is that they'll settle on a number in arbitration. But look, 500 grand's a joke for that guy. The way he's pitching, it's just incredible, and. That was huge for the Orioles. It's been 30 years since somebody did something. You know what I mean? So congrats to him. I always enjoy, there's something about it. I always enjoy seeing, obviously, a no-hitter. And then Hicks gets the hit to right to give the Yankees the lead. Torres will score. He hit a blooper to right field that fell in front of the outfielder. And they get the go-ahead run in the bottom of the eighth. And they'll bring in Chapman in the ninth to face the the Astros. So big hit for Aaron Hack. You know, he's got to get a lot more than one RBI, you know, a game-winning RBI for me to get off of his back. This guy's hitting 100 the whole – I mean, he's been hitting 100 for 2.5 years. He's been so terrible. I can't even believe he got a hit right there. He just reached out and slapped it into right, and it fell in, and they take the lead on that hit right there. So I want to know, so the Mets are up in the second game of that doubleheader in the fifth in St. Louis, 5-1. They lost the first game, 4-1 to the Cardinals. And then the Braves beat the Nationals in D.C., 5-3. Marlins 8-0 over the D-backs. The Rockies beat the Giants again. I couldn't believe the Giants blew. They had that doubleheader swept yesterday. They're up 4 runs in the seventh inning and gave up that game and lost that game. It was unbelievable. 7-6, whatever it was. And they lost again today to the Rockies. 6-5. Reds 1-0 over the White Sox. That was in 10 innings. Now, I don't know if you know about that. Did you see, Mafia, that Tony La Russa admitted after the game today that he had no idea about the rules for extra inning games whatever. He said he had no idea about the rules, not knowing the extra inning rules. I mean, that just, is that not crazy that your manager, and I know people have been, you know, making fun of him and everything, that he's old and he hadn't managed since 2011. And now he's under it again. People are critical of him. And he didn't fully know the extra inning rule that would have allowed him to avoid using Liam Hendricks as a base runner in a 0-0 game against the Reds. Hendricks had double switched into the game in the bottom of the ninth, taking the number five spot in the order, which made the last out in the top of the frame. Per rules, as extra innings begin, the spot in the order to make the last out of the previous inning becomes the base runner at second base. However, if that spot is occupied by a pitcher, the team has the option to use the preceding player in the batting order as the runner. In this case, it would have been Jose Abreu. La Russa said, I didn't know that. Well, we all thought Liam was going to be the runner. I wasn't aware Abreu could have run. I thought it was the guy that made the last out or the spot in that order. So, I don't know. Anyway, La Russa said he was hoping for an easy sacrifice flyer, another way for Hendricks to score that wasn't stressful. It didn't matter after Hamilton struck out to end the inning. We were going to try and avoid any kind of contact at home plate, La Russa said. He said he admitted he wasn't aware of the rule until hearing it from a reporter in a post-game session. I'm guessing you know the rules better. Now I know. A lot of people are giving him heat because he's old. And he seems old, and he comes across as old. And we play his clips on Coast to Coast all the time because they're just so funny. He just sounds so out of it. Like, he's just not all there or something. It without a doubt, it's like Geezerville. You can say whatever you want, but it's the reality of it. We got a lot to talk about tonight.
The other guys, too, the bench coach, these other coaches that are with him, you know he's not all there. You know it's a new rule that just started, you know, last year and this year, as opposed to this guy who hasn't coached in a decade and did it for like 40 years with other rules. Like, maybe someone should pull him aside and be like, hey, Tony, just so you know, we can do this before he sends the guy out there to second base. What are the other guys doing?
Yeah, I agree. There's you got all these other bench coaches. Somebody's got to say something. They all just sat there doing nothing. So, and then they blame him for everything. So now they're going to ride him. Oh, imagine the riding. They're going to ride him like a horse tomorrow on the sports talk stations in Chicago. They're just going to absolutely devour him. They have nothing better to do. Sanchez just got beaned by Smith, and the bases are loaded. Nobody out in the bottom of the eighth. So the Yankees have a great chance to blow this game open. We'll come back and talk to Smitty on the bench. Problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
All right, for all on the bench, we got our boy Smitty on from the morning after on Sports Grid. We always love hooking up with Smitty. Hey, Smitty, I'm watching. You watching the Yankee Astro game because the Yank? That game has been great,
right,
but because the Knicks game sucks so bad, I can't even watch it. Right?
Had to turn it off. Turn it off.
Already. I mean, it was so bad, I couldn't take it. So anyway, let me first ask you this question: when you watch the bottom four in that order, like, namely, basically, I know Hicks just reached out and drove in that run. Fair enough. And I know Gardner just hit a sac fly to left and drove in another run and had a cheap single over Altuve's glove on a wet surface earlier in the game. But he's hitting, you know, $1.85 now, maybe $1.90. Who knows after that hit or that sacrifice. But all I know is, like, when I'm watching him, like, the last couple nights, you know, playing, does he not look washed to you? Does he not look like his career is just completely over? It's, like, written all over his forehead.
Yeah, I mean, I think this entire lineup needs a little bit of a shot in the arm. But I'll be honest, I think this series kind of gave it to him, Scotty. You know, I think, you know, and we've seen this before with really great Yankees teams. We've seen them get off to slow starts because they're kind of waiting for the, you know, the other shoe to drop. And then, you know, the summertime comes and things kind of get heat, you know, they heat up a little bit. I think this Astros series brought a little bit of heat, you know, to Yankee Stadium. And I think it woke up a couple of these bats. Stanton's been incredible. Judge needs to wake up. You're right. Hicks, you know, Gardner, the bottom of the lineup absolutely needs to play better. But it's still, you know, I'm not ready to jump off any cliffs just yet. If it's July 4th and they're still playing like this, then, yeah, I think we can sound the alarm. But right now it's still early May, and you know, they're, you know, a couple out, three outs away here in the ninth, and then, you know, Garrett Cole start tomorrow away from sweeping the Astros. So I think that's definitely a good, you know, something to build on. But, yes, they definitely need to improve.
Well, I mean, they obviously, they were in last place. They had the worst record in the American League, and now they're, you know, two and a half out in second place of Boston, and they're playing, they're a game over 500. They're going to go to two games over 500 tonight. If they win tomorrow, they sweep. Then they're three games over 500. They've got, over the last 2 weeks, the best ERA in baseball, both starters and bullpen. And Stanton's hitting like 475 over the last 11 games in this 11-game hitting streak. Last night he hit the two-run bomb, drove in all four runs, whatever it was, and then, or he had four hits, whatever it was, drove in every run. And then tonight he drove in the other three to tie it up. He had the two-run shot and the double, RBI double into the corner. Now he's up again with runners on the corners. He has been, he's two for three tonight with the homer and the double. RBIs both times. He is absolutely, when he's healthy and when he's in the lineup and when he's keyed in like this, Smitty, he is lethal.
No doubt. And he's up right now, and I'm just waiting for him. You know, there's another Smitty on the mound right now. I think it's Joe Smith for Houston. But, you know, we're hoping he's the lesser Smitty right now because, you know, and people forget that this guy, what was it, 2018? Or it was either 2017 or 2018. I mean, he hit like 60 home runs. So, you know, he certainly has this ability to be this guy that just takes over a lineup and takes control. And I think, you know, as much crap as Cashman's going to get, and there's another base hit. Look at that.
There's another RBI.
Another way. Drives in another run. I mean, you know, people forget that when Cashman made this deal, I mean, they gave up basically peanuts for him. It was just basically taken on the contract, which, you know, you've been covering the Yankees long enough. That's nothing. It was just the money absorbed. And yeah, I mean, some people are going to say he hasn't been worth it. He hasn't hit well in this spot. But we saw it in the playoffs last year, and now we're seeing it carry over to the start of this year. I mean, this guy's an MVP candidate when he's on the field. There's no doubt about that. So just pray he stays healthy because this is – he has the kind of swing for any ballpark. But with his opposite field power and with what he can do to all fields, he's an absolute weapon.
That guy just hit that into right field with the defense not playing at second. But he did it with a broken bat, you know, just power. I mean, that was all the bat broke, and he still is so strong. He just lifted it right out to right over second base. All I know is, you know, over where the second baseman would have been, it was right through the hole. But he's just doing it all. Like, he's seeing it right now like a mush ball is coming at him. The guy's just tearing it up. What was weird is that Judge was so hot before him, and now he, over the last two nights, has cooled off. But when they are both in the lineup and they're healthy, I mean, if I'm a pitching staff and I got to see that top half of that order, man, is that a nightmare?
Absolutely. And you know, that's why the bottom half is as important as it is. You know, these guys, when they're hitting home runs, the bottom half of the order is coming up with the bases empty. So I think the pitching really has been the biggest surprise. And if they can keep that up, they're going to win a lot of games this year because the offense always comes around. And you know, the offense, when it heats up in the Bronx and it's warm and the ball's flying out, that's when this offense really gets going. And it's really just the first week of May. They're just really starting to get their sea legs. And I'll be honest, I really do think this series with the Astros in the Bronx came at the perfect time. Just starting to turn a corner, and then it really revved the engines this week.
What did you think of the rowdy fans the last two nights? Like, especially last night, it was crazy.
I don't mind it. And Dusty Baker saying, what, are we going to boo the Astros forever? Yes, Dusty, that's what we're going to do. Because not only did they cheat, but then after they cheated, they showed no remorse. And that's the part about it that people hate the most, is they did it with such a cocky attitude. And I don't care how many players are on the team from that year. I think the Astros now, for the foreseeable future, for at least a generation, our generation, will definitely view this team, and they will be synonymous with cheaters until a new batch of, you know, players in 5-10 years makes a new name for them, for this franchise. You know, maybe they have to go through another rebirth that they went through when they were terrible, you know, before the World Series years. But this franchise will be synonymous with this for at least another decade. I mean, it's not just going to go away, especially not this year, because it's the first year without fans back in the ballpark. So, yeah, I think Dusty needs to just sack up and deal with the fact that his team's going to get booed everywhere they go this year.
Well, he's also, you know, what's weird about Dusty is that he's got nothing to do with it, except he's had to deal with it, the aftermath of it. He's had to deal.
Guys, and I understand where Dusty's coming from. He's just trying to protect his guys.
Yeah, but it's just like hearing him be like, what are they going to boo us forever? It's like, and you said, yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do. It's like,
yeah.
Dusty just needs, you know what, if I were Dusty, and I'm friends with Dusty, I go way back with Dusty back to my days in the Bay Area. I used to go to hockey games with Dusty, believe it or not. I used to go see the Sharks play with Dusty. He likes hockey.
Nice.
Dusty's a cool dude. He loves wine. He's got like a wine company. He's got like a vineyard. He's all cool. Dusty's like the coolest dude you ever met in your life. But he is... I think getting sick of it. And I think what he should just do is just let it go. Just be like, you know what?
Yeah, exactly.
This isn't my problem. Yeah.
The more they bring it up and, you know, and draw attention to it, the more, you know, like every time. And listen, we used to do this with our – so when I used to work in college athletics, we used to train them on how to answer questions when they got a question they didn't want. And it's easy. You just deflect. You just act like the reporter didn't ask the question and you move on to something that you want to talk about. So, hey – Scotty, how do you feel about everybody booing you every time you go take the mic? Well, I don't really care about that, Jared. You know why? Because I'm worried about making people money every day with my picks. Like, you just move the conversation to something that's more positive. Like, it's not very hard to do. It's media training 101. Dusty's been around a million locker rooms and a million clubhouses in his career. He absolutely should know how to do that. But you're right. He is kind of adding fuel to the fire by being like, oh, it's bothering us so much that they boo us. Like, come on, really? Like, did you not expect this? Like, did you expect people to roll out the red carpet for you? I just don't understand what Dusty expected to happen. Rowdy fans have been locked up in a pandemic for the last year. They haven't been able to boo this team, especially in the Bronx, where they got burned so bad by this Astros team 2 years in a row. So I just don't understand what Dusty expects. You know, what do you think is going to happen in the Bronx, buddy?
Do you think that, I think Chavez Ravine's going to be even worse because they lost the World Series.
Absolutely. It was bad in Seattle the other day. It's bad everywhere. Listen, there's Yankee fans all over the country, too. So it doesn't matter what city you're in. Like, there's going to be people in every city they go to that are going to do this. And the capacity for the stadiums is only going to increase throughout the summer. This is not going to stop. It is only going to continue to accelerate. When we get to the playoffs, it's going to be even worse if the Astros are in the playoffs again. So I don't. They just need to figure out a way to deal with it because it ain't going away.
Listen, at Chavez Ravine, like, you know, I heard him say today, like, Dusty, I'm just glad there wasn't any violence. I predict that there will be violence at Chavez Ravine. I really do. Like, someone's going to throw
a cap game tonight. I don't know if I'm putting anything past anybody anymore.
Well, we'll talk about that when we come back. When we come back, we'll talk about that violence. But I just think that I actually believe, because we got about 30 seconds here, I believe that someone's going to throw something at somebody at that Dodger game.
Yeah, totally. I could totally see that.
I think their bullpen, like, they're out there by the bullpen. I think out in the bleachers at Chavez Ravine is – and I used to go to games there when I lived there for 10 years, that it is the most vulgar. You think the bleacher creatures are bad. They're nothing compared to all those Spanish crazy fans out there. They're nuts. And they will absolutely deface you.
Go to Mayo, baby.
I mean, how many baseball fans have been beaten to almost death in the parking lot at that place, let alone the Astros that robbed him of a World Series? We'll come back with Smitty. I want to talk about the Ranger game tonight, and I want to talk about what happened to the Knicks tonight. On a bench.
When you're a true player, you look for every advantage you can get. Congratulations.
You just found it.
The winning edge. Sports gaming strategies and information you won't find anywhere else. 24 hours a day.
7 days a week.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, so the Capitals beat the Rangers tonight at the Garden 4-2. Smitty's with me from the morning after. Check him out every day from 9 to noon with Ariel Epstein on Sports Grid and on MSG in New York. So, Smitty, a couple things. A, the three fights at the face-off, the minute they dropped the puck, three fights broke out. B, the Smith fight with Wilson. I said on Twitter, I thought Smith got his ass beat, is what I saw. I saw Wilson cut his hands up like a machete. He beat his ass. And then some people said Smith stood his ground and did well. And I'm like, I don't know what fight you were watching. I just saw one guy just bashing the other dude's face in. And then third, I do not believe that Tom Wilson left the game with an upper body injury. I believe that Laviolette just finally said, "You're done because you're going to cost us playoff games. You're gonna cost us something here. Just go take a shower. We're done with your end." Because he was talking Shaq with everybody on the ice. He would have taken on anyone. He's not afraid of anyone on the Rangers. And fourthly, I want to say to you, and I want to get your whole surmise of the whole thing, because here's the deal. I don't think the Rangers have one player on their entire team tough enough to handle the business that needed to be, you know, handed out tonight by the Rangers for the Capitals. I thought, frankly, and Mafia probably doesn't agree with us, we'll get his opinion too. I thought that they didn't win one fight. I didn't think they won any of them. And I don't think they got even with the Capitals at all. I mean, getting even for me is, you know, I thought the only guy that did anything, I think it was Buchnevich who did a cross-check to the guy's head. That one I liked. Now, I come from the school of a slash to the back of the knee or a slash or cross-check across the face or jaw or orbital bone, or a stick down your throat, or, you know, anything else dirty, shots to the head. I'm all for all of it. When you take out my best player and injure my best player, I'm going to injure one of your best players, sure as I'm standing here. And they didn't do that. So I thought the entire night of their little wussy fights that broke out, at the end of the night, none of it worked.
I agree that they don't have the muscle necessary to hand, and that's why they finished fifth in a very difficult division. Now the Rangers have a ton of talent. They're a really young, exciting team, but they're more skill than will. And they don't have a Craig McTavish or a Jeff Bookaboom kind of guy. You know, those are the guys that, you know, made those, you know, 90s teams so great. And, you know, that those are the guys that make some of these really good teams in this era great. I think Wilson he's a habitual line stepper. And I think what he did was out of line, but you're right. Nothing tonight makes me feel like the Rangers got even. In fact, if anything, they probably feel like they lost even more. I mean, they woke up yesterday and they had a general manager and a team president, and they go to sleep tonight and they don't have either. You know, and so they make the statement to, you know, kind of distance themselves from the NHL people that didn't suspend Wilson, and that caused issues within the ranks. And I think that's one of the reasons why these two guys got fired. And then they go out tonight and they at least tried. I mean, I wouldn't say that they didn't try, but you're right. They're not tough. They're not as tough as the Capitals are. And I think that's been proven. And that's been proven too, when they go up in competition against the Islanders, anytime they face them in a big playoff, you know, kind of vibe game, they get their butts whipped there too. And the Islanders are a really tough physical team that grinds games out. And, you know, you could tell when they play up in competition, those are the kinds of games that kind of play out. They're not tough enough yet. Maybe Drury and the new regime will kind of add some toughness to this lineup. But I agree with you, Scotty. It was a response, but it was not a proportionate response, because they didn't really make a dent in anything. And Wilson was just like, all right, I'm done with you guys. This is over. And I agree. I do think he was taken out purposely, either by the coaching staff or maybe Wilson just said, hey, listen, I'm done with this. I think they just need to move on, and the Capitals need to focus on the playoffs. Rangers have nothing to play for. Capitals, everything to play for.
Yeah, I don't think Wilson made that call. I think Laviolette said, all right, enough's enough, because he was having drive-bys with players left and right, like, you know, Buznevich tried to talk to him, he would absolutely kill him in a fight. He's like, he's got 5 or 6 inches on him. Mafia, tell me, I want to get Mafia's opinion. Smith did not fight Wilson well. Smith got his ass beat. I don't know what fight people were watching, but one guy, he landed 15 shots to his head, and he had bloody hands afterwards with all the damage he did to Smith's face, and Smith left the game. So all I know is, and I want to get Mavi's opinion of that fight. None of the other fights were worth a damn, but that fight was won by Wilson. And then, Mafia, your opinion of firing JD and the, you know, GM Gordon, I thought that was a huge mistake by Dolan.
Yeah, listen, I mean, Smith was never going to beat him. None of these guys were ever going to stand up there and be, you know, heavyweight fighters here against these guys. I mean, Smith's mistake was trying to fight him straight up, trying to do it the right way. Unlike Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson does cheap shots. If you try to play the right way and try to play face up against him, you're going to get your ass beat because he doesn't fight the guys that are tough enough to go. He won't go against Ryan Reeves. He won't go against these other, you know, smattering of guys around the league that are his size that are still hanging around because there are no goons on every team anymore. The biggest guy that, you know, the Rangers probably had, the toughest guy, you know, is probably Kreider, and he wasn't there. He's out injured. So you didn't have a guy to match up against him. I give them credit that they actually stood there and they, you know, they tried to stand up for themselves. They knew they were going to get their ass kicked when they did this. They weren't going out there thinking they were going to win these fights. But they were going out there thinking, we're not going to get pushed around, and they got beat up. But, you know, I like that they stood their ground and tried to say, listen, we're not going to stand up for this. If you really want to get retribution against them, you had to play dirty, which they weren't going to do, or you have to bring up some goon to, you know, face them next year. And we'll see if they do that, see if they get tougher in that regard, because they've been building all with skill. You know, you get the good players, and then you pick up the goons later on to protect those good players. So now they have the talent.
Now, hold on. Explain to me, seriously, you said that they weren't going to do that. They weren't going to play dirty. You know, think of this for a second, just real quick. Claude Lemieux, he would have taken his stick and he would have shoved it so far up someone's arse that in, like, literally the dirtiest cheap shot, like even Kenny Linsman would have done it. He's 5'6". He would have taken the stick and he would have put razor blades on the end of it before the game, and he would have rode it across your cheek, and then he would have slept with your wife after the game. I mean, is there no one on the team that has the stones to take a cheap shot and take a stick and shove it down someone's throat?
No, you.
I mean, honestly, Mafia.
Tough guys.
I mean, honestly. Now, Mafia, what about JD and Gordon? Did you think that was a mistake?
Yes, I think that's a huge mistake. I understand that, you know, I loved what they did last night with this statement where they basically said, well, if the league's not going to protect us, then we're going to call you out for it. We're not going to toe the company line and say, oh, well, too bad. We'll move on and deal with it. No, they came out and said, this is BS and you suck at your job. And I like that they did that. That's one of the few things that Dolan has ever done as the owner of the Rangers and Knicks that I have actually appreciated if he apparently was the one who put this out there. And I get that, you know, JD and Gordon, like they're saying, oh, well, trying to distance themselves from it because they don't want to have that on them because the NHL is going to probably be pissed off about that and try to blackball them. But
yeah, whatever.
Even if they did, even if that's what they were doing and don't like it, it was stupid to fire them. You say in closed doors you didn't like it. You tell them you're pissed off. You know, maybe you do something to spend, take a paycheck, I don't know, something. You don't fire them. JD and Gordon have built this team to what it is, to being on the precipice, to being a contender with another piece or two. So it's stupid to get rid of him and just give all his power to Drury. I don't think that was a smart decision at all.
All right, so by the way, Smitty, the last thing I'll say about it is Pierre McGuire tonight said that they overstepped their bounds by criticizing league officers and the league. And I think Pierre McGuire should go stick his face down
a
toilet.
By the NHL, right?
Well, listen, I think George Parros is the biggest hack player I ever saw in my life. He's a goon to begin with. And then he got the job as the top cop. And I think the league did a terrible job handling the Wilson situation. So I agree that I thought the letter said everything that should have been said. And I don't – you know what? Pierre McGuire is an absolute kiss-ass for the NHL and for the TV broadcasts. So I don't even want to hear it. I was like, you need to shut the Pharrell up, Pierre, because you're a wussy too. That was so mishandled and botched by the NHL, it's not even funny. All right, I got a couple minutes, Smitty. I want to ask you. Tomorrow, the Clippers have the Lakers on the table for dinner. Will they carve up the Lakers? Will they beat the Lakers in Davis tomorrow night? That's the big game. And then what did you think happened besides the Knicks first 5 minutes of that game in Denver was a disaster? They got like every guy got two fouls and then Tibbs got the tech and the game was over and it's still a slaughter right now. But do you like the Clippers' chances tomorrow and what happened to the Knicks tonight?
Yeah, I think the Clippers, I mean, listen, the Lakers really showed some fight the other night against the Nuggets, but the Nuggets played really poorly. I think the Clippers really need that game still because they're fighting for home court in the first round, in the second round, you know, if they get a 2-3 matchup. So I do think the Clippers are still playing for seeding. And the Lakers without LeBron, I mean, listen, you've got to just fade them. I know that they won the other night, but maybe we'll get a point or two on the line. So this Clippers team's been under the radar a little bit this year. I think they could certainly make some noise. And the Knicks, you know, when you get off to a start like that on the road in Denver, and Denver's been a house of horrors. I mean, they haven't won in Denver since 06. I mean, that's like 20 years of just ineptitude in one city. Is really bad. So it's just one of those spots they just don't play well in. I was expecting a dud at some point during this road trip. I did not expect them to go 6-0 or even 5-1 or 4-2. I thought 3-3 was a success. I would have even taken 2-4, and they've already won two games. So I expected a bit of a you know, negative regression for this Knicks team. I hope they can take one of these last three games against the two LA teams in Phoenix. And then go home with a 500 road trip, and I think they'll be a top six seed.
I would love to see them beat the Lakers Tuesday night. In fact, I'll do my show naked. I'm thinking if they win that game. The Bucks beat the Wizards 135-134 tonight. The double cover there. I had the Bucks to win, and I had the Wizards plus the 3.5. That was great.
Yeah. Nice.
Do you think Portland won big tonight, and then the Pacers got beat by the Kings? I got 60 seconds. Does Borkgren get fired in Indy, and does Stotts get fired in Portland? And real quick, does the other one that I'm thinking of is the third one is Budenholzer. They're saying if they don't go on a deep run, he's getting fired.
I think Budenholzer stays. They've done well, and I'm curious how they do in the playoffs. If they get bounced early, maybe not. I think the Pacers guy definitely gets fired, and they're going to be a fade down the stretch. They got a tough schedule down the stretch too. Stock stays in Portland. I mean, I think Lillard's going to save his job. If they go on a run in the West Conference or playoffs. And they've looked pretty good the last few nights, so maybe they go on a little run.
I think Budenholzer stays. I think the other two might actually – I think Stotts, it may be stale time. And then I think the guy in Indy might get fired.
Could be.
I think the Indy guy might get fired tonight when he's at home with his wife. Fired. He might get that
Indy
call tonight.
Definitely getting fired.
All right, Smitty, great stuff. Thanks for spending so much time with us tonight on the bench, brother.
Absolutely.
Have a great show tomorrow. All right, there
Thank you,
buddy. Smitty, my man, from the morning after. Check him out tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern on Sports Grid. So, anyway, this game, the Knicks makes me want to puke. They're down 20 right now going to the fourth. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
All right, Perl on a bench with Mafia. The Angels are up 1-0 in the bottom of the fourth with a runner on first. Nobody out. Just got a hit. Otani's pitching tonight. I think, you know, he missed his last start, and now he's back out on the mound tonight. And even though he missed his last start, he missed pitching, but he hit in that game as batter. He does both. They put him in the lineup. He pitches, hits, and everything else. And of course, he's got the 9 home runs, whatever it is. The guy's been absolutely shredding with the bat. And this is the first time, you know, I've seen highlights of him pitching. I've certainly, and I've watched him pitch before, but not this season. This is the first taste of it I'm getting of him actually on the mound working. I just just saw him get whatever the last out of the last inning. So I'm going to watch him here in the fifth and see what he does, see how long they keep him out there. And I want to see his stuff. I want to see if he's got the nasty going. The guy can throw some gigantic hooks. I mean, the guy's got it all going. What's incredible, you know, we've had this conversation before on Coast to Coast and on Pharrell on the Bench that people are so enamored with the fact that the guy pitches and hits home runs like King Kong. I think the guy, people are so fascinated with it that he's definitely in the running for the MVP in the AL. I mean, the guy's putting up numbers. He's doing amazing things. And people are enamored with it. They're caught up in it, the Ohtani thing. There's just something about it. So I want to see if the guy can actually stay healthy and stay in the rotation every 5 days and keep hitting every day. I mean, that would be insane. And now one of their batters gets beaten, so they got two on and nobody out and a 1-0 lead on Yarbrough and the Rays. We got it all going on tonight on a bench.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.